today. I love the fact, I've been to a good handful of churches. I love the fact that you guys sing. It's good. It's encouraging. Like, as a worship leader, when I'm up here and, like, no one's singing, that's, like, the worst. So the fact that you guys do, that you lift your praises up to our risen Savior is just, it's just awesome. So I appreciate that. But if you have a copy of God's Word, I'd encourage you to turn it to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 this morning. We're going to finish up the third chapter of this letter. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we'd encourage you to take that pew Bible there right in front of you. You can turn it to page 987. You'll be able just to follow along as we walk through these three verses this morning. And this morning, as we dig into God's Word, I wanna ask a question that all of us have asked at some point in our lives. And the question is this: God, how do we pray for the people we love? How do we do it? How do we pray when a child makes choices that breaks our hearts? How do we pray when a friend that we know and we love is walking into sin? How do we pray for a loved one who has drifted far from you and even farther from God? What do we do in those moments? What do we say? What passages of Scripture do we bring them to? Because I think all of us at one point in our lives have had someone we love walk away from the Lord. And you've tried all the steps. You brought them to God's Word. You've had the hard conversations. You've tried to invite them to other communities to try to get them the help that they need, but nothing seems to work. What do we do in those moments? And so often, when we come to the end of our rope, that's when we begin to think, we pray. But what if prayer wasn't our last resort, wasn't the last thing that we do? But what if prayer was the best thing that we can do? You probably heard the story before, but it's worth repeating. George Mueller was a man who ran orphanages in England in the 19th century, taking care of more than 10,000 children during his lifetime. And the story goes that one morning, the nanny frantically came to George and said, "George, the children are dressed and ready for school, but we have nothing to feed them for breakfast. There are no groceries coming, the cupboards were empty, no backup plan. These kids were going to go to school that day hungry." But what George did next demonstrates his faith in the power of prayer. See, George gathered the kids together around the empty table and stopped and prayed and thanked God for the food that he would provide. And sure enough, moments later, there was a knock heard at the door. And a local baker said, "I couldn't sleep last night. And I felt God telling me to bake bread for you and for the children. Could you use some?" I said, "Yes, we could." And shortly after that, the milkman stopped by at the door and knocked and said his milk cart had broken down outside the orphanage. And he offered all the milk that he had before it spoiled. See, friends, the children ate that morning not because Mueller fixed the problem, but because he prayed to the one who could. See, friends, prayer isn't just the last thing that we can do. It is the most powerful thing that we can do for the people we love. So that's exactly what Paul does in 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. See, he cares deeply for these believers, but he's unable to be with them. He can't protect them. He can't disciple them. He can't even visit them. So he does the most powerful thing he can. He prays. And in this passage, we see three powerful prayers we can pray for those we love. So I just want to read the passage in its entirety. It's only three verses, and then we'll break down these prayers that we see here. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. It says this. Paul writes, and he says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. God, we thank you, God, for the opportunity we have right now to gather around your word, to drink deep from the well of Scripture. God, many of us have at one point in our lives had loved ones that we care for deeply. Lord, but they are at the end of, we are at the end of our rope with them. We don't know what to do. And Father, as we navigate that space, Lord, these prayers are such an example for how we respond and how we pray for the people that we love. So God, I pray, Lord, that these would be an encouragement, Father, for our people today, as they have encouraged my heart this week. I pray, Lord, that we would leave here, God, with hope. God, and not hopelessness, knowing, Lord, that you can work in the lives of the people that we love. And God, so I pray, Lord, that you would just help me get out of the way, that your spirit would speak to the hearts of our dear people this morning. And God, Lord, that down the road we can say that because we prayed for the people in our lives, we saw you do incredible things. So God, Lord, just bless our time as we walk through your dear word this morning. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, before we kind of break down this passage, I want you to notice something very important. And you may have already noticed as we read these three verses this morning. Because in every single one of these verses, in every single one of these prayers, there's an important word that's there. The word may. See, if you're just reading this, it may seem like this is just a passing prayer. Paul is just simply praying for his friends, but it's so much more than that. See, that word, and I don't want to geek out or whatever, but that word in Greek is called, it's a verb in the optative mood. It means to desire, to strongly wish, to long for. So this isn't just a passing prayer when Paul says, "I wish you would do these things." He says, "God, I wish, I want, I long for the day when I see these things in the lives of my friends." It isn't just, "I hope this happens." It is, "God, I am putting all of my eggs in this basket. This is what I want in the lives of these dear believers." This isn't just a passing prayer. This is a longing desire to see God do things in their lives that only He can do. And in these verses, we find three prayers we can pray for the people that we love. The first is found in verse 11. Let's read it again. It says, "Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you." This is how Paul starts. And it is important to remember the context behind and the occasion behind this letter. See, remember, Paul was hundreds of miles away when he wrote this letter to the Thessalonian believers. And shortly after they trusted in Christ, remember, weeks or maybe even months after they believed in Jesus, Paul was forced out of the city. The Jewish religious leaders caused this riot, and Paul said it was good for his life and for the lives of those Christians that he left. So that night, he snuck out of that city and went to Corinth and Athens afterwards, continuing on his missionary journey. And ever since he left, Paul wanted to return to be with those believers, to support them, to continue to disciple them, to give them whatever they needed to supply their faith. We see that in verse 10, the verse right in front of verse 11 here. Paul says, "I pray earnestly day and night that I can be with you so that I could supply what is lacking in your faith." But Paul, up to that point, hadn't been able to come.
all of us, we've had people in our lives where, man, we have reached out. We've tried to connect. We've tried to set up coffee dates. We've tried to do whatever, and nothing seems to work. Or there's some people that you may actually have face-to-face time with them. But every time you seem to be able to share God's word, to share truth into their lives, you hit this brick wall. So friends, whether we are physically distant from our loved ones or relationally or emotionally distant from our loved ones, Paul prays that God, that you would direct our way back, that you would clear the road, as to say, so that they would be able to have a connection. And Paul previously, because he wasn't able to actually be with the Thessalonian believers, he sent Timothy just to check on them, to see how they were doing in their faith, to see how they were standing up in the midst of persecution. So Paul's heart, whether it's himself or whether it's someone else, Paul longs for the fact, and he prays, God, surround them with the right people. God, whether it's me, I would love that, but if it needs to be someone else, God, I just pray that you would surround them with the right people. And this is a prayer that we can pray for our loved ones, especially those who are far from us or far from God. Friends, I remember the first time I ever prayed this prayer. That was when we dropped off our oldest son, Jackson, at kindergarten at Mid Valley Elementary School. Here is this little kid. I swear his book bag was bigger than he was. This little kid, and he's walking up to this huge school building that holds 1,200 students. And for the first time in his life, I couldn't go with him. Mid Valley is like, they're savages. You literally just like roll up, drop your kid off on the sidewalk, and they go in. You don't even like drop them off at their classroom. It's like, boom, go. So I remember for the first time praying this prayer. And as I began praying this prayer, God brought me to pray specifically for two things. And it's something that I have prayed every day since I've dropped off our kids. Here they are. First, God, lead them to godly people. Lead them to godly people. I've heard it said once, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. See, friend, the people that we hang out with, the people that we spend time with, the voices that we listen to, greatly impact our lives. So we pray, God, lead them to the right people. We can pray this over our children, asking God to send them godly friends and mentors. I remember when our kids were in public school praying this. I remember when our kids are in Christian school praying this. God, I don't pray that they have a ton of friends. God, but I pray, Lord, that you give them one godly friend that would be able to encourage them in their walk with Jesus. One friend to come alongside of, that have the same goals, that have the same values, that are able to, as iron sharpens iron, you know, encourage each other. So we pray, God, lead them to godly people. We can pray this over a loved one who's wandered away from you or wandered away from the Lord. And man, you've tried to speak truth, you've tried to lead them to God's word, you've tried to get them to church, but they keep stiff-arming you there. You can pray, God, if it's not me, send someone else. Send someone that they will listen to. Send someone who is able to maybe say the same things we're saying, but maybe take it from a different approach. God, send that person into their life. We can pray this prayer over a loved one who maybe is moving to a new city, and they feel alone and isolated and forgotten. We can pray, God, lead them to a solid church community that where they can find connection there. So we pray, God, lead them to godly people. But we don't only pray that they would surround, that God would surround them with godly people. We also pray that they would listen to godly counsel. And that's the second point. God, help them listen to godly counsel. It's not just about having the right people around you. It's about them having a heart that is willing to listen. The book of Proverbs is full of verses on the wisdom of listening to instruction. Man, I feel like our parenting approach literally is just go to Proverbs again and again and again. That comparison between the wise person and the foolish person, man, if you're raising little ones right now, is such an important lesson for them to grasp. And Proverbs talks about the idea that the wise person listens to instruction, but the fool is the one who pushes that away. And so for our kids, we pray, God, help them seek after your face. Help them listen to godly counsel. For those people that whose hearts have been hardened by sin and seem not to be able to listen to good, solid biblical truth, we pray, God, soften their hearts so that they would listen. Sometimes we have to pray, God, bring them to a point in their lives where they're willing to listen again. And we've had to take people within my own life, say, God, do whatever it takes to break the strongholds of sin and soften their hearts. So we pray, God, help them listen to wise, godly counsel. So we can pray for the right person at the right time to be willing to share what our loved ones need to hear. So friends, when you feel distant from someone you love and worry that they're isolated or spiritually vulnerable, pray. Ask God to surround them with the right people and trust that he can clear a path you never could. And that's Paul's first prayer. Let's see his second prayer in verse 12. Verse 12 says this, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do all for all of you." You see that word "may" there again. But Paul doesn't say, "May you be safe. May you be successful. May you be popular." What does he say? He says, "May you abound and increase in love." Paul prays for love, not just for friends, but love for everyone. Love for enemies. Love for difficult people. Love for those who don't love them back. And if we had to state it simply, it would be, God, deepen their love for others. And that's the prayer that we pray. God, deepen their love for others. But notice how this works. This isn't about trying harder to love people or putting a "Be Kind" bumper sticker on your car. Those are nice. But that's not real. I've been cut off by many "Be Kind" bumper stickers in my days. That's not that. All right. Most of them from New Jersey. But whatever. I mean, think, hey, this isn't an outward thing. And I'm not saying, like, listen, you should be nice to people, be kind. We can teach those things to our loved ones around them, obviously. But listen, this kind of love that Paul talks about here isn't from outward changes. This is an inward transformation. This is Paul asking that God would do something in their hearts, that God would increase their love and abound their love for the people around them. Because let's be honest, loving people is hard. Every time I pray for love, God, help me love someone better. Help me grow in my love. You know what he does? He sends the most difficult person along my way. God, help me love everyone but that person. You know what? They're going to bring that person. That's what happens. It's like saying, God, I want patience. Teach me patience. And you're trying to check out at Target or Walmart as you're walking up, and every single aisle, every single register closes as you're walking up, and you're all funneled into one line, and it takes forever. That's what God does. But I want to be very clear about something. This kind of love, real agape love, the self-sacrificing love that God gives for us, that God showed us when he gave his only son to die on the cross in our place for our sins, that kind of love is a fruit of the Spirit, not an outward transformation. It's not just putting on makeup. It's not just making yourself look better. No, this is God doing something inside your heart. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit, that first one is love. This is what God does in our hearts. Think about it. Remember those science projects that you or your parents, really, let's be honest, that our parents did growing up? Remember that one that you had to build a volcano and you had to put the baking soda in and you put the vinegar in and it kind of overflows and everything else? You guys all do that? Me? All right, maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But yeah, so basically all it is, you take a paper towel roll or whatever, you put baking soda down there, you build this volcano up around it, the baking soda is already in there, and then you pour the vinegar in, it creates a chemical reaction, boom, everything overflows. Funny, it's a good thing, yeah. It is cool, the first, I liked it. But listen, without the baking soda in there, you can pour vinegar in all day, it does nothing. There has to be a chemical reaction inside that volcano for that science project to work. In the same way, Paul is praying, God, would you do something in the hearts of every single one of those believers in Thessalonica so that God's love would overflow out of their lives. This isn't something that we produce. It is something that God does in our lives, and it overflows to those people around us. Paul is praying for the miracle of life change and transformation in the hearts of those people that he loves. And this is a way that we can pray for our loved ones as well. We can pray two things. First, we pray, God, may they know your love. May they know God's love. We can pray this over a child struggling with their identity, that they would find their security and identity in God. We can pray this over a friend who feels forgotten, asking that they would understand that they are seen and loved by their Heavenly Father. Most importantly, for all of us, we probably have loved ones in our lives that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we pray, God, would they understand how much you love them? God, would you give, maybe it's me, maybe it's someone else, but would you give me the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with them? That they would see how much you care for them, that they would see that you provided a way, that they would see the forgiveness that only Christ can offer them, and that may they experience the salvation that only God can give in their lives. We pray that they would know God's love. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Paul prays again for those believers. And he says, may you know the breadth and height and depth of God's love for you. And when we understand God's love, then it spills out into the lives of those people around us as well. So not only do we pray that they would know God's love, secondly, we pray that they would share God's love. So we pray. I pray for my kids all the time. Lord, help them not just to be polite. Help them to genuinely love others. Do I want them to be polite? Of course. Of course I do. But it can't stop there. I pray that they would experience the love of God so deeply in their lives that it overflows in how they treat other people around them. We pray. We can pray for our friends and for our loved ones that, man, that they would see the blessing of meeting needs around them. Romans chapter 12 talks about this idea that we esteem others greater than ourselves, that we love, that we pursue people, that we show hospitality, that we're willing to give up what we have so that they can be blessed. All of that is a vivid picture of the gospel. All of that, what that does is it shows other people what Christ has done in our lives, and we want to welcome and invite them in. So we pray, God, not only would you surround them with the right people, but God, would you help them grow and deepen in their love for others as well. But Paul prays one more prayer. And we find it in verse 13. It says this, it's a verse 13, it says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. Here we see Paul's final prayer for the Thessalonian believers, and the third prayer we can pray for the people that we love, and it simply is this. It's God, strengthen their hearts for holiness. God, strengthen their hearts for holiness. Church, when a hurricane approaches the coast, people don't wait until the wind is howling and the streets are flooded to begin preparing. They know what's coming, so they actually act early. They board up the windows, they reinforce the doors, they fill sandbags, and they check the foundations of their home. And that's not panicking, that's preparing. And once a storm hits, it is too late to start reinforcing things. And that's precisely what Paul is doing here. He understands that life is full of storms. He understands that life is full of temptation and suffering, pressure and compromise. So what does he pray? He says, may God strengthen your hearts. See, the word strengthen here means to establish, secure, or reinforce. It means to be allowed to make it strong so it will not move. And in the Bible, the heart isn't just our emotions. We do need some of that, obviously. But it's the center of your will, your desires. It is who you are. So Paul is praying for inner stability, for a heart that holds fast to truth, and a character that doesn't collapse under pressure. I need that prayer. You need that prayer. And I'm sure your loved ones need that prayer as well. So just like a boarded up home, we pray that we would stand firm amid the storms of life. So the first thing that we do, first thing we can pray is, God, help our loved ones stand firm. Help our loved ones stand firm. That they would stand firm in the face of opposition. We pray that God would strengthen their hearts so they don't cave under pressure. We pray that God would give them the courage to stand for what is right, even if they stand alone. And just like a boarded up home, we pray that they would stand firm amid the storm. Friends, I can't tell you how often, and this isn't just teens, this is adults as well, how often I've seen people just succumb to the culture around them. And it may not be at first. You may walk into a work situation, you may walk into relationships, you may walk into a family time or social environment, and you know that the rest of the people there are not believers, or you know that some of them, even if they claim to know Christ, they're not living for Him at the moment. And friends, it is so easy to rationalize the fact, I'm going to change everyone else. I'm going to bring the light of Christ into that group, and I'm going to change them. But friends, what most often happens, if we're not vigilant, if we're not ready, if our hearts are not strengthened, they end up bringing us down. And it may not be overnight, but over time, I've seen this happen time and time again. So man, we got to pray this. We got to pray this for ourselves, and we got to pray this for our loved ones. God, help us stand firm in our faith. Help us be able to stand firm in the midst of a culture that is pushing farther and farther away from Jesus, farther and farther away from God's design. God, help them stand firm so that when they're in the thick of a storm, when no one else is on their side, they're able to stand up and say, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to choose God's design. I'm going to obey God's word, even if I'm the only one doing it. So we pray, God, help them stand firm. But secondly, we pray, God, help them set their eyes on Jesus. In verse 13, Paul points ahead to a moment. He points ahead. He's like, I pray that you would be blameless in holiness for the day when Jesus returns. See, I love this. At the end of every chapter in this letter, Paul points us back as believers to the reality that each one of us is going to stand before God someday and to give an account for our lives. Every single one of us will stand before Jesus. And the question he's going to ask each of us simply is this: what have you done in your life for Jesus, for me? And we're not there. This isn't a final test or a final quiz to see if we're going to make it into heaven or not. This isn't about our salvation. Our salvation is freely paid for and secured by the person and work and promises of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is not what's on the line here. But our rewards in heaven, the impact we have for the kingdom here on this earth, are. And so we pray, God, help them set their eyes on the moment that matters most. There are so many moments in our lives that we look forward to. I remember looking forward to graduating high school. Then it was graduating college. Then it was getting married. Then it was buying a house and having a family. And sooner or later, I'll retire way down the road. All of us have those moments. And it's not bad to look forward to those moments. But all of us must be most worried about this moment. When you and I stand before Jesus someday, and he simply asks, "What have you done in your life for me?" So we pray for our loved ones. We pray, God, help them be focused on that moment at the judgment seat of Christ, that moment that matters above every other moment. And pray, God, would you help them be laser focused on what truly matters? Guys, this world is full of so many distractions. This world is full of so many things that will not matter in that day, will not matter for eternity. The Apostle John says in his epistle, it says, like, the everything of this earth, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of these things will pass away. Many of the things that we worry about, many of the things that we strive for, many of the things that we work hard, long hours and spend our money on, those things will not matter when we stand before the Lord someday. So we pray for ourselves and we pray for our loved ones. We say, God, may they set their eyes on Jesus, the one that matters most. May the only affirmation that they care about is hearing, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," from the Lord Jesus himself. May they not be wrapped up and distracted by the things of this world, but may they set their eyes fully on Jesus. That's what we can pray for the people that we love. So friends, this morning we have been reminded of three powerful prayers we can pray for the people that we love. We can pray, God, surround them with the right people. God, deepen their love for others. And God, strengthen their hearts. And friends, as we close, let me remind you of one important truth that will fuel each one of those prayers. And the truth is this, is that you and I should never doubt the power of prayer. Never doubt the power of prayer. As I just call the praise and prayer team forward, let me just unpack this just a little bit. And simply is this, prayer is never a small thing. It may feel invisible, it may feel powerless, but it is not. When you pray, you are placing the people you love into the hands of the only one who can truly help them. You're asking the God who parts seas, who raises the dead, who softens hearts, to step into their story. So today, don't let helplessness turn into hopelessness. Instead, let it drive you to prayer. When that child continues to break your heart, you pray. When that friend continues to live in sin, we pray. When that loved one continues to stiff-arm you and doesn't want to hear anything about the gospel, we pray. Not because it's the last thing we can do, but it's because it's the best thing that we can do. Why don't we stand and do what I just talked about? Let's pray, and then we're going to sing one more song. So Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you for your love for us. God, I thank you, Lord, for your word, God, and just, Lord, the simple truths this morning of what it looks like to pray for the people that we love. And God, I pray, Lord, for those who are discouraged this morning because they have loved ones, Lord. God, who have broken their hearts. God, I get it. I've been there. I've seen it. God, I pray, Lord, that they would not give up hope this morning, but they would continue to turn to you in prayer. God, I pray for those people, Lord, that have been praying for a long time and are about to give up. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to encourage them to keep praying, keep handing them over to you, Lord, and looking to see what you can do in their lives. The great physician, the great healer, the one that can bring restoration and reconciliation, the one that draws the heart of men to your Son. And God, I pray for others today who are here, who are being prayed over right now. God, because they have wandered away from you. God, I pray, Lord, that they would see your heart today for them, that they would know how much you love them, God, and that they would be brought to the end of themselves, Lord, and brought back to you. But God, we hand all of this. This is all in your hands, God. Prayer is taking our loved ones and leaving them at the feet of the cross and at the feet of your Son, Jesus. So we hand them back over to you today. But God, I pray, Lord, that we would believe in the power of prayer this morning because of your faithfulness, because of your goodness in our lives. So God, thank you, Lord, for the hope we have. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.